Dun, 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 dun. What are you doing, Mike? Yeah, we're on. What's going on? Oh, you got those too? Are those yours?
Those are mine. I'm letting them try.
All right. This is the GloucesterCast 271. It is March 30th, 2018. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, lucky 7. Chris has got the speedy sauce. Chris, what is in your hand right now?
My thin optics?
Thin optics.
Thin optics.
We forgot to talk about this last time.
Exactly.
But thin optics, so for us old people, Ainsley hasn't got there yet. But the rest of us, I guess we could all talk about this. Look, hold up your cell phone. It slides into your cell phone case, right? So there's this little non-obtrusive thing that sticks on the back of your cell phone case, and this pair of readers slides right in there.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I was
you with you when you need
all
it
the time.
Yeah.
So especially people, do you need reading glasses in dark spaces? Okay.
Yeah.
Chris went to Tonto last night. I was at Tonto last week. There's a lot of restaurants that do like just the people that write out these menus must be Ainsley's age because they have no concept of like people that. So you either have to bring
reader's
glasses out,
right.
Or
you get all the candles from other
turn on the
or like I explained it. The way I explain it is a lot of times like there's no candle, but there'll be a light in the corner. So you gotta do your upward dog pose like this with the menu to try to get the light. So you can read the tiny font.
And it's not just that it's tiny; it's oftentimes printed in pale gray.
Yeah.
On a gray back.
In script.
Right. In script.
Yeah.
With little, like, not bold at all.
Right.
But things aren't going to change because this has been ongoing. You can't reach every restaurant person that designs thinness. But what you can do is get these thin optic things.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
No brand.
Very
I think
cheap.
They're $20 on Amazon.
Yeah, $22. You get two pairs. And they're guaranteed for life.
Yep.
And I already broke a pair. So I went on their website, ordered another pair, no shipping cost. They sent me another pair in 4 days.
Oh, wow.
So I got the black this time.
Thinoptics.com.
Yeah. I wouldn't order the clear ones because you can lose them very easily. You get one with some color so that
you can
see it
sitting
next to your nightstand or something.
Exactly. But yeah, good stuff. And the bills, they need to make the print on your bills at a restaurant, because I'm finding that challenging too. Not just the menu, but when the bill comes, it's like, how much do I owe?
Yeah.
I just hand it to Kate.
Yeah. Everybody who's under 45 thinks this is not going to happen to them.
Right, they do.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody under 45 thinks this is not going to happen.
I talked to my ophthalmologist, and they said...
Proctologist.
Yeah, that person too.
Optometrist.
Yeah. So, I told you.
Building.
I told you.
Yeah,
brick by brick.
And
you're in the wrong one.
Brick by brick. He's going to tear it all down.
No, Doc, my eyes are up here.
Oh, God. Where was I going? They said that the eyes, like, it happens like this, too.
Yeah.
Like, you
could
be, you could go into, like, 45 years old, and then, boom, all of a sudden you need them.
Yeah.
Little order of business, Cape Ann Community Cinema. They sponsor the podcast with a couple free tickets for a random person that shares the post on Facebook. So share the post on Facebook. You get two tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. I have two for you before you leave. There you go.
My paycheck.
Here's your paycheck. Thank you, Pat, for bringing me Cape Ann coffee. Quiche.
You're welcome.
Quiche.
Yeah.
Quiche is excellent.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were hopping there this
I'm
morning.
I'm going to go around. Okay, I'll introduce everybody right now. We got two of my high school... This is like... I feel like there's a shift in the balance. Shift in the force right now. I got two of my savage animal...
Jim said it was a little darker in here.
Yeah.
I think it's the relationship.
two of my savage buddies from high school that the mischief... Like the stuff that we can't talk about here far outweighs. We got Mike Hodare and Chris McCarthy here. Mike, this is your second time on the podcast, right?
Morning, Joe. Yes, it is.
Yep. Yep. We have Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have Ainsley Smith, who's been on the podcast once before.
Once before, yep.
Once before. And Kim, my co-host.
Good morning, Gloucester.
You better watch out. There's footsteps coming up behind you, Chris says. Yeah. Chris says he's going to... But I want to thank Mike and Chris for bringing me homebrew coffee. And the coffee was made in the old school percolator that probably all of us, I don't know, Ainsley does maybe not know what this is, but when we were kids, all our parents.
You're carrying the banner of
Aren't you like 27, 28 years old?
We'll go with that.
Okay. All right.
Don't call
her. Young. You're never supposed to say a woman's age, right?
Yes, her, she
gave a range. She
gave
a range.
Do you know what a percolator is?
Yeah, of course.
Like an old school percolator.
My grandma has one.
There you go.
That's the only reason you see one of those, right?
And there it is.
Kim, do you still use one? Or what kind of coffee maker do you use?
I use the French press and then also the, what's that thing called? The cone, you know. The pour over.
Yeah, that's what we use, yeah.
I use that, and I also use my French press when my kids are, when Liv is home, because they love that.
Well, Mike, I'm going to have Mike talk about, he has a very special process. He doesn't just half-ass his coffee. This is excellent. Give me the rundown.
So the percolator is a GE percolator from 1961. So that makes it about 58 years old.
Wow.
And my mother gave it to me through my trials of moving around the North Shore and Eastern United States in my lifetime. You know, you gain and lose a few things. So I said, Mom, I'm going to go buy a coffee maker about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. She said, no, take this one. Clean out the house in Topsfield. She's getting ready to move. So I take this percolator and I fill it with spring water. And I get, you know, high-end coffee that's on sale, Stop and Shop.
Pete's in this
case.
Could be
Pete's. Could be Starbucks. There's a number of good coffees over there. And I brew it. There's no, like, timer with auto shut off. You gotta watch this thing. When the orange light comes on, it's done. And I let it come down to room temperature. I unplug it, put the cord away, and I let it come down to room temperature. I haven't washed out the inside of the coffee maker since I've been using it for 5 years.
Come on. Now you tell
me. I washed it once.
Now why is
everybody's holding a cup of this.
What's
coffee?
The thing?
Because the coffee.
Finish my cup.
Yeah.
The coffee, it's like a whiskey barrel inside the coffee maker. Right? Just aged coffee in there.
It doesn't get bitter?
It doesn't get bitter.
So do you
rinse it.
You rinse it.
I rinse it out a lot with hot water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
You
don't put it like that.
No, I don't just leave the sediment in there. No,
oh,
I rinse it out every time.
Okay.
But I don't apply any soap.
No soap, right. Yeah, much like a cast iron pan.
Much like a cast iron pan. So then I put the coffee into a pitcher when it comes out of room temperature. Slide that pitcher in the fridge, and I have it the next day because I get my coffee cool all year round. And now you're sharing this coffee with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
When he made me one, I asked for milk, and he brings out heavy whipping cream. So that's what he uses instead of milk or cream. And it was outstanding.
Okay. That sounds delicious.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's
it makes secret. it's a big difference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the places that use real cream as opposed to like milk or whatever,
it's
night and day. Night and day.
Anything else?
Do you,
he's got something more.
That was it. Thank you, Chris.
Chris is behind him tapping his watch.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Ainsley Smith is here.
GE Percolator Company.
Ainsley, we've been trying to get you on for how long now? A month?
Oh, yeah,
a couple weeks.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. It finally worked out.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. But you wear several hats.
I do.
In this capacity as the
Clean City Commission.
Clean City Commission.
So we have a couple great events coming up getting ready for Earth Day. So Thursday, April 19th, we are showing a movie at KPN Cinemas. It's A Plastic Ocean. It's a great documentary to get everybody thinking about what can we use a little less of, how can we have a lighter impact. And it's a great prelude to the ordinances that are going to be coming up in January.
In January.
So we've got some time to get ready for those, but it's time to start thinking about what we can do and bring your own bags and use your own mugs and what can we use a little bit less of.
So the ordinances about the plastic bag, they go into effect
next January.
Yep. Oh, January 1?
January 1, yeah.
Big day.
That is a big day. I see a lot of the, what?
Well, no, I'm just wondering, like, you know, Stop and Shop. I love Stop and Shop. I shop at Stop and Shop. But they did that whole big, huge plastic bag creation that they have now at the cat.
The rotary thing.
The rings.
I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know.
We'll find
strange,
out.
Huh?
Yeah, they put a lot of money into that.
They've put a lot of money into
that.
That's
probably a corporate decision that didn't have anything to
do with
taking into consideration the local ordinance that's coming down the pipe.
Down.
And they're going to have to figure it out when it comes down to it.
They have stores across the state, and we're up to like 65 cities across the state now.
Oh, that's great.
Cambridge and Boston and Salem, and everybody's getting on board.
How many states are there? How many cities are there total in Massachusetts?
390 or
390?
So.
390. Wow.
But population-wise, I believe it's over 25% of the population in the state now.
Oh, that's tremendous!
Having legislation in place.
Wow.
There you go.
Tremendous.
Now the thing is straws.
Yeah.
The next thing you
notice, like everywhere you look now, it's about the straws.
It's disgusting to see so many straws on Good Harbor Beach.
It is, but I don't know about using a metal straw and
what
carrying
about
it
paper?
Around.
Paper, yeah.
What about
just
paper? That's what I use at home.
Oh, just like, oh, I get it. Okay.
Old fashioned
paper.
Can you get
that?
Yeah,
oh,
you can.
All right. Because I was like, I don't want the steel pipe in my.
If you do use a plastic straw, just cut it when you're done with it, right? Just take it, cut it right down
way. So plastic straws, the chemicals that they're made out of aren't recyclable. So that's where people get caught up, because you can throw your plastic Dunkin' cup, iced coffee cups are recyclable, but you have to take your straw out.
Oh, wow, because you wouldn't think that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think that. Right.
Yeah, the paper straws are, I'm going to tell you, the company to invest in is the company that makes the
paper straws.
Because if you notice on social media, like no one the paper bag, the plastic bag thing is kind of like that's old hat.
Right.
It's all about the plastic straws.
This brings back childhood memories of paper straws that flatten out because you suck on them too hard
and they get all mushy.
Yeah, and then they get mushy.
I'm gonna tell you about the steel straws. Well, I don't like the steel straws because I bought, you know, the insulated tumblers that we use.
Right.
A lot of them, they sell them with those metal straws. I don't.
Your teeth.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes like you bring it up and you like knock it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Common Crow has some, and I got mine at REI, and they're stainless steel, but they have a silicone topper on them, so you're not biting on the stainless part.
Oh, that's smart.
So that's the one I like.
Oh, that's smart.
See, value added. Ainsley comes here, she's bringing us everything. So the movie, did we ever talk about the screening of the movie?
Yep, so the 19th at 7 p.m., and it'll be a great event.
And where is it at?
KPN Cinema.
KPN
Cinema.
There you go. Well, our sponsor.
Perfect. We love them. We're very happy to be working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Saturday, the 21st, is the second annual Great Gloucester Cleanup. We are doing 6 different locations this year. We're going to keep growing and expanding. So we are doing Washington Street, St. Peter's Square, Horton Street over by Ocean Alliance, and then Pavilion Beach, State Fish Pier, Cripple Cove, and Good Harbor.
Oh,
so we are going to be out in
droves.
We had 150 volunteers last year, so we're going to keep growing.
Where can people sign up for that?
On Facebook, on the Clean Gloucester page.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that's linked in there.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, One Ocean, One Love is sponsoring a barbecue for all the volunteers to say thank you at their shop.
Clean Gloucester page?
Clean Gloucester,
yeah.
Yep. So it'll be a great event.
Oh, that sounds like
tons
so
of volunteers.
Do they need help with food? Do they need help with...
We would love some food donations. We've already worked with Pigeon Cove Ferments and Monpa's Pickles are donating some great treats, but we would love
donors. You need more donors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of
hungry mouths to feed.
Yeah.
And where is it this One Ocean, One Love, is that where you kind of like the shooting off point? Are you meeting in the morning or?
Yep. So everybody's going to meet at the site you want to work at.
Oh, okay.
So
at what time?
9 a.m. 9 to 11. And then rally back to One Ocean, One Love for a thank you and a barbecue.
In the past, I know Jeremy at Cape Ann Brewing always kind of had a party after the, but it may be Earth Day event or is it? Because Gloucester used to do an Earth Day event. Is this with the City of Gloucester or not with the City of Gloucester?
Not officially. I mean, it's the Clean City Commission but kind of rallying lots of different groups and
I would reach out to Jeremy because in the past that they were always very supportive of that.
Yeah, we definitely will.
You know, every year I just remember the press releases coming from them.
Oh,
like after the whatever cleanup, they were going to have like a something.
Great.
On,
this is from KPN Coffees.
No, Cape Ann
Brewing.
Brewing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We will definitely look into that.
Hey now.
Great.
Hey now.
I want to ask, how did you decide those places?
Lots of feedback from people. Washington Street is, I mean, it's the main entry into Gloucester, and I live over that way, and it looks rough, and that's not really how we should be welcoming people into Gloucester.
Going for walks,
yeah.
The last couple weeks, there's the route that we go, the back shore and up Farrington Ave and everything, my guess is that the snow, you know, all the stuff that gets thrown out, the car doors and stuff,
the
snow just collects it and it melts, and then there's just this.
Absolutely.
There is an incredible amount. The most I've ever, I mean, the most I've seen, I just started going for walks with Kate for the last couple of years. But
I know,
but
there's also storm surge brought it a lot.
Yeah, storm surge. But as of a time of year, it seems like right now, it's the grossest. And you know, we're coming into the season, so.
Yeah, and what we found is that a clean street generally stays clean. It's when people see, oh, I can just put my coffee cup over here because there are other cups over here. Versus if there aren't any, you know, maybe people hold off a little bit longer,
it's
keep things a little bit cleaner.
That is a definite thing, and it's a broken window theory too.
Yeah.
If there's a building, an abandoned building, if there's no broken windows, they all stay.
They all stay that way.
One broken window in the building, and kids are gonna just throw rocks and back on the other ones. That, but
mentality.
So we'll do some good.
When did all those windows get smashed out? I just noticed it for the first time. Like,
that's kind of recent, I think.
It is kind of recent,
that's
right?
That's kind of recent.
Have you seen it?
Why hasn't someone done something with that?
It's a huge problem.
Here we go.
Again, the new guy.
No, there's all different people pointing their fingers at each other about why.
The school has such a history.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to touch that up.
I'll
research it myself.
Yes.
Well, it. Depending on who you talk to, you'll get 10 different answers on whose fault it is. But anyway.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's going to
be
a lot of fun.
We helped at the Good
Hog. I remember, yeah.
Ainsley, was there anything else?
Yeah, sure. So related to the plastic bag ordinance, the Clean City Commission is teaming up with the YMCA Teen Leaders Club. It's a great group of young adults. And we went over and had a little discussion about bags and reusable items and kind of getting them in the spirit of things. And they are collecting cotton t-shirts now. They are doing a service project where they are making reusable bags out of these t-shirts. We walked them through it. They all know how to do it now. So they are hoping to get 444 t-shirts.
And you have one of the t-shirts here.
Yeah, and it's really easy.
And you can see it in the picture that's going to accompany the
picture. Yeah, you don't even need to sew it.
Wow.
Which is a great project for teens.
Wow.
And they did a great job making these bags in one night. So they are going to be working on that all summer. So you can bring t-shirts
over
to the
teen
center.
I think that's great,
what a cute
idea. We talked about this earlier, but literally t-shirt-wise, I have so many cotton t-shirts that just accumulate because so many events give away a free t-shirt.
This is so great for, let me just tell the readers real quickly how it's made. It's a t-shirt with the neck cut out, scooped out low, and the armhole scooped out low, and then the bottom is cut and tied. So you could actually use this for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you spilled any food on it or whatever, just throw it in the washing machine.
Yeah, toss it in the washer with
your
regular
clothes. Unlike
I'm
the regular, you know, reusable bags, which I have a sanitation issue with, you know what I mean? Like I use those crochet, those net bags that were popular in the 60s that they wad up like that big and then they expand, you know, they're cotton and you can just throw them in the washing machine. But this is great. What a great little
I'm picturing
idea.
as a retired school teacher, picturing those inappropriate t-shirts kids come to school in, and now and potentially there would be
make sure they have a family-wide sponsored appropriate slogans and whatnot.
But that would be actually, it makes me giggle a little bit thinking about the repurposing inappropriate t-shirts.
And we have the instructions we can send you too. It's something you can do at home. It took like 20 minutes to make one.
20 minutes. Yeah. What a fun idea.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Fantastic. Well, those are all great events, and thank you for all the work you guys do. It is awesome to have. And I know that the city has gone more and more towards really embracing volunteerism.
Yes, well, the DPW used to be 75 people strong, and now there's only 12 full-time workers, I believe. So it's incredible it's incredible what the DPW accomplishes with their small staff.
Yeah.
So we need
they're
going to
be out straight with after all the storm damage we've had too.
Yeah, they are out straight.
Nonstop.
Right?
I mean, we have I wonder how they prioritize, because think
that
about
must be hard.
Yes.
Right now with all that damage in my head, I'm sure safety has to be to be first, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In my head, just visually, the most glaring thing to me, safety-wise, is the Good Harbor footbridge.
Footbridge,
right.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
The pictures of that is
right.
just like,
right.
And every four
and,
years,
and
it's
people
just
are, even though they had it, roped off, people are still using it. Now they have it all boarded up. You know
right.
what I mean? And you can access it from, you can access the beach from the other end. So it's not like there's no beach access.
Yeah. That's people so used to probably just
parking there,
walking
right.
and stuff.
Right.
I read on Facebook or something that someone was shaming a person for, probably rightfully so. I'd never try to get in these kind of pissing matches, but someone was with their 2-year-old, crossing with their 2-year-old.
Oh.
And it's just
I know,
like,
you
what
look
are you
at some
doing?
Of those boards, and I was thinking to myself, those boards are very
loose.
Clearly.
Right. Yeah, just be using the other end. I don't know. It says beach closed, so maybe that's
right.
why it's,
You know, when it comes to the beaches, we had this conversation last week. You can't, if you say you're going to restrict their access for
public way.
So the piping plovers come, right? And it's a huge thing because they're coming and they have this habitat and they fence it off and stuff like that. Well, some people on Facebook take it five steps further and say there may be a beach closure for these fucking birds.
Right.
Who gives a fuck about these birds?
Right.
They're gonna take it's in their head is they've gone to that same spot on Good Harbor Beach since they were 3 years old with their mother, and this fucking bitch is saying that we're gonna shut down the beach for these stupid fucking birds. Who gives a fuck about these birds? That's the rhetoric. That's what you hear on the street and stuff like that by the people, because some people really don't care so much about the birds, right?
Yeah.
But they're very passionate.
Yeah.
So you have to just be careful because you don't want to.
I don't think these guys know that I'm the FB that they're talking about.
What?
These guys know that I'm
Well,
the
you
FB.
Don't say that. You don't
right.
say that. You don't say. You're not suggesting to shut down the whole
no.
beach. You're saying that the area
right,
should
just
be.
The little
but
area.
That, what I'm saying. So the problem is the telephone game.
Right.
This person says it to this person. This the next person. By the time it gets to the other end of the telephone. They have Good Harbor Beach shut down for 2 months from June to August.
And also, it's just a very small vocal minority. For example, when I was filming down there all the time, I always met up with this big, big bunch of guys, and they were they love the piping plovers, and that had been their where the rock was in the little piping plover area, that had been their station forever, since they were kids. But they were totally happy to move 10 feet over, away from the rock, and enjoyed the piping plovers. And these guys were in their 20s and 30s with their girlfriends and their wives, and they've been doing this, they've been at the rock for many, many years, but they didn't have any problem whatsoever.
Right.
So,
but if you tell those people that are educated, that understand that they're not suggesting that you shut down the whole beach. The person that is not educated, that thinks, because they heard it on Facebook, because so it must be
true
that they're going to shut the whole beach down, get a little more agitated.
Right. This is good to know, because as a new guy to Gloucester, I didn't know when I go to Good Harbor that I should be careful where I set up my chair. Not because of the birds, but it sounds like people are staked
territorial.
Out.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Elks, what Jimmy says. Jimmy says you go to the Elks. And there's certain seats that the guy goes all the time, and he sits in the seat.
Oh,
and if you
like
sit
in
the seat, you get the stink eye.
You respect it. Respect that that's their seat.
Okay.
So when they come in, I just move to the side or whatever because
you don't
want to
get the stink
like
eye.
To go there and that's their seat. Yeah. And they get to see everybody that way.
I didn't know I had to read a manual before I moved to Gloucester, the do's and don'ts.
There's a lot of moving parts.
There's the manual and there's the Joey C. manual.
I don't know which one to follow.
Chris.
Yes.
Maybe Ainsley may have something to do with one of the subjects that you suggested. And I'm not sure if you do or not, but you can speak to it if you do. The poop bags. You were impressed that there were poop bags for the dogs on the boulevard.
Oh, the mutt mitts. Yeah.
So quality bags too.
Yeah, there is a group of volunteers, and it's not something I'm a part of, but it's a great group of volunteers that got funding to put out waste bags in places where people walk their dogs. So people hopefully remember to pick up after their dogs and then throw your bag in a trash can and not just. Leave that on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
We're
still working on that part.
That's something we're always going to be working on, I think.
Those are recyclable bags,
the mutt mitts.
They are not right now, they're regular plastic, but it's something we've talked with them about is picking a more environmentally friendly bag in the future.
Don't you worry a little bit about like all the poop in plastic bags? Like
it's not gonna break down.
Yeah, it's not gonna break down. Like, what is that gonna be like in 100 years? I don't know.
Smelly.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think that those bags don't break? They're not recyclable bags.
They're just regular plastic
bags,
and they just go into a trash can that goes into another plastic bag,
into another plastic.
See, another reason that dogs are bad.
We're right from the talk about going from this.
You saw what I sent you last night. The kitty assassin. You see what I sent you? The kitty assassin picture.
Yeah.
And then just in one day, then the other one with the crazy safari people.
Oh. Well, did you? I didn't send you the one. The old guy who's going up to an alligator. Did I send you that one?
Oh yeah.
Did you see that one?
I didn't get through the whole thing, but I saw it was going around social media.
This guy approaches an alligator, like, and the alligator bites him and throws him down to the ground. It was just like, okay.
Well, this is what I'm talking about with you animal lovers. You're all crazy. The animals want to eat you.
Right.
It's true.
You love animals and have a healthy respect
for them.
And still stay back and not put yourself in a position to.
Well, what about the lady that's sitting there all nice with trying to take a selfie with the kitty and the kitty gouges her eyeballs out?
Joe, that was obviously very edited. Like, the lady's making, like, funny, like, little bird noises, even though there's no volume. You know that's what she's doing with her mouth. And she's egging the kitty on. And I think she was, you know, wanting that little, you know, slap on the face action that the kitty did.
The kitty almost gouged her whole eyeball.
No,
she would have been blinded forever. You can't replace eyeballs.
That is...
Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
Anyway. Ainsley just got back from the South Pole, right?
Antarctica, yeah. It was phenomenal. So we didn't actually get... The South Pole is pretty far inland on the ice, but we were up and down the Antarctic Peninsula.
Was this for work?
No, I keep trying.
No, she chose to go.
Chose to go to Antarctica.
Yeah, it's something my husband and I had been talking about for years and years and years in planning, and we pulled the trigger on it and booked a vacation and had...
So how long does it take you to get to Antarctica?
Yeah, how does that work?
So we flew down to the tip of Argentina.
Okay.
And then it was a cruise, so you're on the ship the whole time.
Okay.
And it's about 3 days to get to the Antarctic Peninsula. And then we were on there for a total of 2 weeks, just cruising around the ice and different lagoons and around some of the little islands. And
icebergs.
And then do you see, like, what kind of wildlife did you see?
Tons and tons of penguins.
Penguins, yeah.
Seals, whales,
yeah.
Birds. I'm not a birder, so I'm not great with the birds, but there were a ton of, like, beautiful albatross, which
wow.
is just...
Well, tell me, did you go there? Did you just get back?
February, yeah.
Have
so
you seen
any
Japanese whaling ships?
No, thankfully not. I'm not sure. I think they're in a different part of the continent.
Southern Ocean.
Yeah, but
it's
happy,
a big ocean.
Happy not to see any of them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When I think of cruises, I just can't see going to a travel agent saying, "I want to go to Anna."
Did
you think you have room?
Did Kate book that?
Oh, my Kate didn't. No.
But I mean,
he went somewhere warmer.
How many people on the ship, and what was it like on the ship?
Yeah, so we purposely picked a very small ship.
Yeah.
To have a light impact and to be able to get off and go into small places. So there were 200 guests, and then probably like another 100 crew.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
So
wow.
Pretty small.
What was the brand? What was the...
Hurtigruten. It's a Norwegian brand, and they started with Arctic exploration. So the ships are all adept for ice and rough seas and whatnot.
I'm down for that.
We
yeah.
absolutely loved it.
Really?
I read
yeah.
recently
so
that
yeah.
so many cruise
go to
ships
fucking
are
Hawaii.
Contributing
to
the world's ocean pollution.
Caribbean? Are you
going to
go over
the
fuck, with the ice, with
the
ice cubes?
Like the food waste. Because a lot of them are designed to... Like, they have all this kitchen activity going on.
Yeah.
But then they just dump the extra, you know, any leftover food or veggies or scraps or whatever, and it's creating a super imbalance.
Yeah, so we purposely picked, like, a small ship, and they have a lot of really strong environmental standards,
yeah.
And especially being in the Southern Ocean, they have a whole set of guidelines to keep it very pristine.
Oh, great.
So there's no dumping. They treat all the ballast water coming in and going out, so they're not... bringing back any different
mm-hmm.
little planktons or organisms that
oh,
could
that's great.
Be invasive
that's so
species somewhere
they're very,
else.
They're
yeah.
very socially conscious.
They were, yeah,
yeah
and I
great.
Highly recommend them. We had a great time.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
There you go.
Because I was wondering how you could get into all the lagoons, so to be on a small
right.
boat.
That's because
right.
people like you and me go someplace warm. And we sit on a beach and we have a nice cold cocktail, and that's what we call a vacation.
Maybe Joe and... Kim will sponsor a corporate trip.
There's
yeah.
a
we all have to
yeah.
go
yeah.
on a
trip.
Yeah.
We'll take it out of the budget, the big budget we have.
Right, take the podcast on the road.
Right.
Come on, man, it's time. We'll
no,
do a podcast.
For that big paycheck.
You
big
paycheck.
Big.
Podcast
hey, did you,
from the
did you sell any of your prints? Of the We Love You Owl prints?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so
I
want
to mention that Kim has her iconic
exciting.
Photo of the snow... The, Kim, also known as the keeper of the Snowies. There's the photo with the snowy owl with some of the graffiti on the back shore. I love you, it says. And she named the photo, We Love You, Snowy.
Yeah.
And she the prints are for sale. So if you need, if you want a print, contact Kim.
Thank you.
And
if
you're doing on, what is it called? Arc, something kind of paper, some special paper.
It's not Archie's Hot Press. It's just Hot Press. Fine Art Hot Press.
Fine Art Hot Press. There you go.
Archie's Hot Press is what you use for watercolors, I think. So... so do you know what hot there's hot press and cold press paper? Do you know what the difference is? Hot press is very smooth and fine.
Okay.
Cold press has a lot of
the bowls.
But you know, a lot of texture to it,
mm-hmm.
which is for depends on what kind of watercolor painting you're doing. Like if you're doing plein air painting, a lot of plein air painters would prefer to use
for more texture.
The cold press as opposed to hot press.
Gotcha.
From my watercolor illustrations, I always use hot press because it's more
sharp, crisp.
Yeah, more
yeah,
font,
crisp lines.
Very fine type of illustrating. So, so far 7 orders. I'm keeping it open for 2 weeks. Yeah,
fantastic.
So, yeah, it's wonderful.
Let's put a link in the show notes
yeah,
for
thank
that.
Thank you for asking
yeah.
about that. Yeah. Yeah, I positioned, I kept trying to get the owl just so that, because there's more graffiti beyond I love you.
Right. Yeah, more, yeah. You hit
right.
It.
So I was just trying to get the snowy so you just see the I love you and nothing else.
It's we love you, right?
Yeah, we love you too, snowy owl.
Snowy, okay. All right, fantastic. Photo. All right. Pat, we'll get to something. Oh, Pat, you went and two different things. One.
I can't wait for the one topic.
I know.
I can't wait.
First off, we want to mention the Bacon Club card Buy five breakfasts valued at $5 or more and receive $5 off your sixth breakfast at Mile Marker. And
yep. Bacon and on the back of it.
There's a little, yeah, there's
it's
a
cute.
Bacon. It's a bacon
funny.
Bacon club card at Mile Marker. And they have
a cute
five
mom.
Punches.
That's
a
cute
and
idea.
You, and you get a $5
we went
off
there for lunch course. Yesterday, $5 burgers. Great
that's
deal.
Close to you, Chris.
$5.
Right down
I
there?
Went
you
down
went
my
to,
list.
Last
yeah, Sunday.
You said that, yeah.
Last time was a Sunday, there was 10 of us.
Yeah.
The,
what did you think of their breakfast?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good, yeah. And, you know, love what they did inside. I haven't been there since they did it all over.
Mm-hmm.
The food was great, service
yeah.
was great, and great view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People rave
cute.
About it.
Yeah.
So there's good. You also went to something that
yes.
some people may, you know, have.
This is part of my unending quest to bring new topics to the podcast.
So you're
so
pushing your boundaries out
I am.
There.
I am. They were a little too far for Jimmy here, but he didn't participate. But
you took what is it called now?
It's at the Sawyer Free Library.
Oh, Sawyer Free Library hypnosis.
And how it can help, or something like that. How
yeah.
hypnosis can help in
oh,
hypnotherapy.
Really, I might be in for that show.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people?
This is a local. She happens to be a woman. Her name was. Tina Grasso, and she presented the program. It was a very small group, but it you know, I was curious. Plus, I thought it would be something to talk about. And she was explaining the methods that's used and why the science behind why they believe it works. It can work to make change for people to make changes in their
smokers.
Lives.
Smokers, big time for smokers. Right?
Smokers, weight loss, anxieties.
Breakers.
A broken heart.
Eaters.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mike, they can take off a bunch of your boxes. Right?
Yeah. 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 And she led us through steps to achieving a hypnotic state. And
did you?
Well, I think I must have because I could. I kind of snapped back when I could feel myself start to drool a little bit. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it didn't feel like it though. I mean, I could hear everything she was saying.
I never
and
got
I
that
could,
feeling.
Oh, that's interesting.
It isn't like I went
no.
out there somewhere and couldn't
right.
hear her. I knew where I was. I knew I was sitting in that chair. I could hear her voice. But then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second. You know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And lucky for me, I won the door prize. So part of that is a free session.
Oh, great.
She's right on Duncan Street.
Great.
And it was just interesting. And
this is something that the woman that I love would be really into. She loves, like, having her mystical, like,
yeah.
having her cards read.
Yeah.
Much like a former First Lady Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
There were people in the room who clearly did not accept what she was saying or believe the theory that hypnosis can help
yeah.
change behavior.
I'd be skeptical.
There were skeptics.
The woman, this Tina Grasso said, because they was asked, will it work if you don't believe?
Right.
And she said, it can work, but it works a lot better if you accept that it can work.
I wonder, you know how they have these shows and they have the hypno.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously they must have, a certain amount of those have plants in the audience to have to have,
right?
Right,
there's some sort of.
But I wonder, like, if some of them really, like, do these crazy things, like when they have the big burly
she
guy
says
talk
not,
like a,
you know, but that you wouldn't do anything
quack
you wouldn't
like a chicken.
Do, and which you, you know, we've heard that, you wouldn't do anything you wouldn't normally do,
mm-hmm.
like you aren't going to go, you know, climb a roof and jump off if that's not something you would normally do.
Or cluck like a chicken.
Or cluck like a chicken when the telephone rings or something like that.
All right.
If Joey starts clucking later, we'll know what happened.
Exactly what happened. Chris brought something up. So Chris just moved into town like three weeks ago. Hold on.
Three storms ago.
We're counting them by storms now. Hold on. So you moved here from Danvers.
I did.
And you were astounded that downtown,
yes.
the meters don't take credit cards.
Don't take credit cards or use an app.
An app?
An app.
Okay, explain to me, because I didn't even know that this existed.
Oh, yeah.
I feel very...
Actually,
I'm usually on the cutting edge of technology.
I'm going to interject here, Joe. You can use the app for the commuter rail.
Yes.
The app, that law takes the app.
Yeah, but not on Main Street.
You know, over near...
So how does the app
work? Line?
You preload it with money, or it just comes right out of your account?
No, you put a
account?
Credit card. You attach a credit card to it. You type in your plate number, and you pick the amount of time that you need, hit go, and then the app actually reminds you have 15 minutes left.
Wow.
Oh,
and
that's
amazing. It's really cool. Or even one of those pay stations. The only reason I brought it up is being the new guy in town, spent a lot of time on Main Street, and I never have change in my car. So I'm always going into the businesses
so
asking for change, and some look at me funny, some don't. But what a great way to just make it more.
How does the meter person know? Do they get a?
They have an app.
Access
so
to the
it's all technology. So they look and see which car.
Al Gore invented it.
Of course he did.
Right. Yeah. And it would be great to have an area for residents only parking. And or maybe have a sticker, because I was surprised, or even a small lot for residents only.
Are you talking about for downtown?
For downtown.
Well, just
park it
on 4C2. Oh, you have to pay.
No, you still have to pay there at the
kiosk.
So
pull,
there are some...
Pull right up to the mayor's office on Saturday.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's good.
Take the mayor's
there's
spot.
There, yeah.
Or park in the electric car place. No.
There you go.
That's what a lot of people
car.
Do. No, just
where
kidding.
Are they? I know
bad.
You're kidding.
I'm just kidding.
How far is it? So there are places that you can park, like what is it, Spring Street? I know a lot of the waitresses and chefs that work in restaurants and long shifts.
Okay.
They go up. You know where the first place that you can park close to downtown without a meter is you know where. The central fire station is that next street back.
Oh, okay.
There's no park. They don't have to pay for parking there.
That's a couple blocks.
That's a couple blocks.
And the VFW, right by the VFW.
Okay.
Right by the VFW, and then there's St. Peter's Park,
okay.
Where the brew pub is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And which we
which
talked
is
about.
Always that's filled up.
In the summertime,
yeah.
It's pretty much always
yeah.
filled up.
Yeah.
And it's funny because so for when people want to start a new business. In that area, you know, you for you to like have a like a big commercial place or a restaurant, you have to justify parking a lot of times.
Right, yeah.
There's literally like 500 businesses that claim because it goes by distance that claim
that's gonna be their parking.
Which
awesome.
You know it is what it is, but that's it's just funny like it doesn't commute. We it would be nice to have a parking lot, like a central. I think I like.
Would we charge people? Or are you talking about?
Yeah, no. Like Salem does, like you know, a
yeah.
central,
oh, yeah.
a central three car, three floor
yeah,
parking
three,
garage,
yeah.
that you could think.
Yeah.
I think the best place if the Y does go up to Fuller School, then I think that like where the Y is would be a great place for a parking garage because.
Well, they were talking about making right by the brewery, making that like one of those rotary things and tearing down the old gas station there. And they were going to make that into parking.
Oh.
Where? Take what down?
Where Tally's is?
Yeah.
Where Tally's is? Oh, yeah. No.
I didn't hear that.
No,
no.
I thought they were going to make it
plus
a wide area. It was voted down.
Yeah, there isn't enough room there for. I mean, you could only fit like 10 spaces there or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that they were going to put a Starbucks there.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Oh, you heard that?
I don't know. It's all rumor and conjecture. I don't
know.
Traffic going
through
there.
You know what I would like to say about parking, which I hope the city doesn't do? I would rather have change or the app that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The chip thing is, to me, is the worst, most stupid thing.
Oh, you're talking about
the kiosks.
What don't you like about
those? Because when you get out of your car and it's snowing and raining or whatever, you have to go over to the kiosk, find a kiosk. First you have to go, then you have to pay, then you have to go back to your car,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so inconvenient when it's cold and wet and rainy out. Where if you just can put change in, that's a one thing, not a three-step
right.
thing.
Step out of the car and drop it in.
And drop it in and
yeah.
run into your destination
yeah.
or the app thing.
My guess on the old school meters is, like, someone has to go and and empty every one of those things, which is probably not the most efficient thing.
Right. Yeah,
that's probably
sure.
why they haven't gone to, that's probably why they went to the kiosk thing.
Right.
But this app thing is next level.
Yeah, that's next level.
That's next level. That's what we got. That's what we got to shoot for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to put my friend Julie Bro out of business, though. She's like the meter maid in town.
Yeah.
There's still meter maids, though, right?
She can work from home now.
She
can
work
from
home.
She can work
remote, exactly.
She can work from home.
Yeah. So what's her name?
No, because someone has to identify that the car is still in the space, though.
Well, if it's
right?
in an oh.
Yes. Yeah.
How do they get? How do you get a ticket? Based on what?
That's
no,
true.
They still need meter maids.
Cause, right,
yeah,
because
if someone is sitting in a spot that has no time left, they slap a ticket on.
They get a notification, and if the car and they line up the license plate with the car, the
video surveillance grid would take care of that. Just have cameras up at different strategic areas. Camera one covers these 50 spots. Camera three covers these.
Yeah.
Do you have the Opti things to what you borrow?
No, he's borrowing mine.
Oh, okay.
So what's the meter maid's name?
Julie Bro. We grew up with.
Julie, I own a gray Jeep and a beige Jeep. If you find any of those on Main Street, please don't give me a ticket.
maybe you tune her up a little bit ahead of time. You know what I thought about? I always thought this would be a great idea, right? I probably don't use a whole sleeve of quarters over the course of a year, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I just give Julie $10 and say, listen, Julie, if there's...
Oh.
If I'm in violation, I'll still pay the meters because the only maybe once or twice every other year, I always pay the meters.
Yeah,
but sometimes I just have a mental lapse.
Yeah.
And I get a ticket, and I don't. Some people get really mad at the meter maids.
Really
like it's the meter maid's fault. I'm like, I don't get mad at the meter maid.
I'm
mad at myself for being so stupid, right? And but like that's why I'm like. I'll still pay the meters, but in the chance that I fuck up, I'm going to prepay you, just dump a quarter in the thing for me and keep the rest at the end of the episode. Sure, I'd be way ahead of time.
I used to walk down, park the New York car. You know, everyone's staring at the New York plate, and I know it.
Yeah.
So I get out and I park right here, and then I would walk down, and, you know, I know I'm getting a stink eye because I took some spots. I'll go up to a meter and I'll throw in a quarter for somebody
that's
else.
Great.
Because I figured if I'm going to be an asshole, I want everyone to know I'm going to be a nice asshole.
A nice asshole. Nice. I like that.
So I do that.
I look for my two Jeeps.
There we go.
So, Joe, I just want a quick shout out because my wife and I were at the Franklin in Tono last night. Bartenders are great. I'm finding that's certainly one of the qualities here.
Well, you have to be good. You have to be great in this town because there's so much competition. So it raises the quality of the service everywhere.
Yeah.
Franklin and Tono, probably Franklin, Tono, and maybe Short and Pretentious, the three top. I'm sorry, Short and Main, the three best.
Bars on Main Street.
Craft cocktail
right,
places.
But it's also the people too. So shout out to I may not get their names right. Rowan.
Rowan is a Short and Main. I mean, she's a
Franklin.
Rowan.
And then
not Stefano?
If you want to know Stefano.
I saw Stefano last Thursday.
Yes, Stefano and Rowan both work at Franklin.
And then Ivana from Tono. Great personalities.
Yeah.
You know, she had us laugh and we had her laugh. And both of them. So stop in and say hello to them. They're great people.
Rowan is a school teacher too. So,
is she?
Yeah, in Marblehead. So
she's hard worker.
Yeah, very hard worker.
Yeah.
Didn't they used to have a competition down Main Street in the summer or something, or the spring, with all the bartenders running down, making drinks at one end and running.
Yeah, they did
down.
It.
We took pictures of you.
It was during the Sidewalk Bazaar. They used to have
the
server competitions and stuff like that.
When we were first coming here,
Joe, what might be a great idea, I know WEI does this once or twice a year, and they put a bracket together of bartenders. You can do sort of a bracket and the best bartender.
Are you trying?
Are you advocating?
No. We had this conversation about what happened.
Oh.
I'm wondering if was this a subliminal trying to get me in trouble here?
The bricks are crumbling.
You forgot about that?
Yeah, I did until I just mentioned it.
Okay. Kim, seals on the beach. What's going on with the seals on the beach?
Let's see. Yesterday I found two. And there was an injured one several days ago. The injured one
was very seriously injured. And
which beach?
Old House Cove. I don't know the beat. Old House Beach or something
yeah,
like
where,
that.
Yeah, what section of town?
I don't know. I couldn't find it on.
Were you in Gloucester?
Wait a
yeah,
second.
But I didn't,
you said you were there.
No, I didn't see that
one. You heard
I found
it.
No, there's a wounded one a couple days ago. I didn't see that one.
Okay.
But that one was rescued.
Okay.
And then the two that I saw the last 2 days over in West Gloucester, they made it back into the water all by themselves. And you saw an injured one about...
Yep.
So how long ago was that?
So I'm going to put on a different hat.
Yeah.
Unofficially, I'm a government contractor, and we do the marine mammal response in the area. And we have gotten a bunch of calls. They're usually young gray seal pups. I'm not
yeah.
sure if that's what you saw,
yeah.
too.
No, what I saw, the two that I saw, I'm pretty sure were harbor seals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two most common ones around here.
Yeah. Yeah, and they weren't the big, you know, they weren't the big,
yeah,
big,
yeah,
big.
Right now it's,
are they? Is it because the surf has been so ridiculous they must be exhausted? Or?
Is that what it
good
is?
Good hunch,
yeah.
yeah. And New Hampshire had some coming up in unusual places after the storms, too, so
yeah.
it's not uncommon to see them up here.
It's been so rough, and they're young, too. Like,
yeah.
I read that they breed from, they have a 9 to 11 month, one study said 9 month gestation period for our field, another said 11 months. So, and they breed in May and June, so then you would have young ones right about in February, and then they're weaned from their mothers after 24 days, so.
Yeah, they're on their, they're on
yeah,
their own
they're
pretty
on
early.
Really early, so yeah, that would be, so do you think, and also I was wondering if we're seeing a lot because of the fish that are migrating. As well,
yeah,
so
definitely.
I was thinking,
they go where the
yeah,
where there's food and where there's a good
right.
place to hang out on the beach,
right. like, and go into little, you know, into you know how like the rivers come out, you know, the Anasquam River.
Absolutely,
and
yeah,
they can
get a little lost or detoured,
lost down going downstream. So,
Ainsley, what advice? This happens probably, you know, a bunch of times throughout the year, and Kim's usually always on the beach on the scene, and but the main thing that like the, what do you call it, naturalist or whatever, you know, the people that care about the seals,
mm-hmm.
people, you, like the idea is that to stay away from it,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So they are, as cute as they are, they're wild animals, they have sharp teeth, they have diseases. So the best thing is to stay back, to keep your dogs back as well, so they don't pass any diseases back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
If there is one that looks injured, there's a hotline you can call, and it's 1-866-755-6622.
Could you say that again? Because I put a post up last night.
Oh, great.
Okay.
866-755-6622. The last four spell out NOAA.
Okay.
And you can
622 spelled out NOAA.
6622.
Okay.
And it gives you the whole list. It runs through, are you in Maine? Are you in Rhode Island? Are you in the North Shore? And it'll pass you along to the correct stranding agency.
Okay.
Right. Who can help and get information and ask more questions about what you're seeing.
Okay, thank you.
Where's the best place to see the seals in Gloucester?
Brace Cove.
Okay.
Yeah. They're usually they're on the rocks out there. They like to haul out on the rocks there.
So Brace Cove is, you know, if you're going towards our house on the back shore?
Yeah.
If you keep on going.
Okay.
On the back shore. And then there's a hard right to go on Farrington Ave.
Okay.
If there's like a little path you can
okay.
walk down,
that's
and that's Brace Cove. It opens up.
Great.
It's really beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Is it? Cool.
Yeah, and the neighbors love it when you go through there.
Oh, jeez, you sending me down a path where
you can go down there.
Most people just park at Niles Beach and then it's open to walking from, you know.
Okay.
It's a pretty walk too.
So
yeah.
You know how you guys
Niles.
Go for walks?
Yeah.
You should park at Niles Beach because right now, especially, you don't even need a sticker this time of year.
Right.
Park at Niles Beach and then walk down towards the lighthouse and then up BMO Ave. And that'll take you down. That'll take you to Brace Cove.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty back there. And then you walk right back. It's a perfect
yeah,
loop.
It's beautiful.
Perfect loop.
Not more
yeah.
than a tenth of a mile, is
no,
it?
My friend Mary Weisbaum does it, and she's not in her 90s, so she actually rides her bike. She rides her bike to
Grace Coe.
I saw her walking the other day.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
She is amazing.
She was walking through Ledge Road. You know Ledge
yeah.
Road, all the curvy.
Yeah, she
lives. Like, Jesus,
she lives
she's gonna
there.
Get wiped out. Yeah.
Yeah, she lives up there.
Nine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Look at this.
She rides a bike.
We're like sloths.
She's awesome.
She's amazing. I love her.
Yes.
I love her. You know, Kate, there's only two different people in Kate's life. I love her. I hate her. There's no one in between. If someone's walking out the door after we had a conversation with a person, if she wants the person to know that she's in her good graces, as she's walking out, just within earshot, she'll say to me, "I love her."
Yeah.
Just so she gets credit with that person as they walk out, that
sure.
she know they know that.
Well,
they,
you just been found out, so you might be sleeping outside tonight.
No. She'll fully acknowledge this, but if she hates them, she'll wait till they're fully out of the earshot, and then she'll say, "I hate her."
So, what does she think about the new people that just moved to Gloucester?
her new favorite people,
yeah.
And she writes it to you all the time. You were fishing for a compliment right there. That's what you are.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we were in
public
and not
acknowledgement.
Out.
Maybe you should go see that hypnotist for your insecurities.
Hold on,
don't put it all over. Good morning.
So Chris just informed me that it's Good Friday.
Yeah.
And I took a roast out of the rib roast. I took it out of the freezer to defrost because I was going to smoke it this afternoon.
Pat, I won't let him do it.
Yeah.
Pat.
So today might not be the day to post it all over.
You know what's funny to me?
You defrosting it today?
Last night I took it.
Oh, last night.
So this is something that's, you know, kind of funny. So you know how much of a savage these two animals are, right?
I can see that clearly.
But he goes to church every Sunday. So is that to wash away your sins, or what is that?
I feel good when I leave church, and my wife went to church with me last Sunday.
You went to Our Ladies. You said it was a nice mass, right?
Oh yeah.
Didn't I steer you right with that one?
Father Jim was there.
Father Jim was there. Yeah, and it was great.
That's the Portuguese church, right?
That's the Portuguese church. Yeah.
He was
awesome.
Great, and I introduced myself.
The best sermons.
We walked out of church. But then we went right back to sinning. My wife and I had
with
we
the stones.
Went for a Bloody Mary at Stones.
You can
so
walk.
The cycle
now that's the way
continues.
To wrap up church.
That's how you do it.
That's
you
the way to wrap church.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to contemplate the words and the message of the day.
Exactly.
In peace and quiet.
But,
I get that.
Yes. No, and I've been impressed with, you know, the people in the church. You know, just the community.
They got great sermons at Our Ladies.
Oh,
Our
yeah.
Ladies has been known as having
yeah.
like enthusiastic,
yeah.
decent
was,
sermons as opposed to like, Put you to sleep sermons. Over there, they actually have a little bit of energy behind them.
Yeah.
Not that I've been to church in the last 20 years.
Yeah, we
but when I used to go, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have you back, Joe.
Yeah.
Bloody Marys are on him after it.
You're crushed. Kim, you're very concerned. Stage 4 Park Beaches.
Yes.
And Plum Cove Island.
Plum Island,
I'm sorry.
Island, yeah. So the problem with Plum Island is that, you know how they close the beaches for April for the nesting shorebirds, piping plovers, and terns? Well, they've already closed a lot of the beaches because of all the storm damage to the stairs and things like that. So there's limited access to the beach. But then when last weekend I'm trying to document a lot of the damage, not just to the Gloucester beaches, but around to all the beaches. So I went down to the State Beach, which is at the very tippy end of Plum Island, and there was so much debris washed ashore. I've never seen anything like it. And it's all in the area where the piping plovers nest. So that whole little tip
Sandy
there,
Point?
Sandy Point. It is huge. I mean, like, my husband's standing next to it and it comes up to his waist.
Wow.
And I don't know what they're going to do with all of that.
That's a really popular recreational boating destination, too, like the Annisquam River beaches are. So you might be able to get some people to help you with that.
Well, I'm personally not going to try to recover the beaches there. They need like bulldozers and, you know, they need big, huge.
A little
hops
fight. You go, break out.
I thought you were talking about there was garbage there. Or
there is garbage. I mean, there's mountains of garbage,
oh, really?
Plastic.
Wow.
Every.
What's
know,
the latest with that ship that was uncovered there? The Constitution era ship.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. At Plum Island.
Oh no.
At the southern
no.
point.
No.
Plum Island. Is,
yeah,
so,
I was thinking.
Are you thinking about Coffin's
Beach? Coffin's
Beach.
Yeah, that's what I was
yeah.
thinking.
I think I read that gets uncovered, every couple of storms every couple of storms.
That's just the south
in.
Where she's talking about 4 or 5 miles.
I get you.
Yeah.
So are they shutting down Coffin's Beach?
No, Coffin's Beach is not open to the public anyway.
That's where Tim Burton lives.
Yeah, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, Coffin's is not open to the public anyway.
That's
so
right.
It's a totally
that's
private
right.
beach. So,
yeah.
But the, and then the, what's happening at Stage Fort Park was, you know, that little crescent-shaped beach that looks out into the harbor? Did you see that tree that came down?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Down on our walk.
So
it's huge.
It's huge. So the tree came down over the beach,
yeah.
and then the roots of the tree pulled all the stairs, you know, the stairs that go up?
Oh,
like, yeah. pulled the stairs out. That
wow.
all has to be, you know, the tree has to be removed. They've taken a lot, they've cut off some of the branches that look like they would be the most dangerous. So there's
yeah.
a big, huge tree. I have photos of it. I'll post it.
Good job for JD.
You haven't posted in this yet?
Yeah, well, I'm super behind. I've got piles of pictures.
It's not like you have a job or anything. You're an artist.
Oh,
you're
God.
An artist. Artist, though.
And,
like.
and then the other beach, is it Cressy's Beach?
Yeah.
Cressy's Beach.
Yeah.
It's looked like Pebble Beach did. Just rocks coming all
yeah.
the way out onto the lawn.
That happens every couple of years over there.
Yeah, but
probably not to the extent that it is
I
now.
I don't think it's to the extent that
yeah.
we had after. I think it was after storm number two,
wow.
nor'easter number two. Yeah, it's incredible. But what the biggest concern for me is, like, when the shorebirds come back to nest, you know, where are they going to nest if their habitat is destroyed? So, for example, like on the West Gloucester beaches, on Good Harbor Beach. Instead of a nice gentle slope now with vegetation, which is where the plovers like to nest, there's bluffs. So it goes, sheer.
That's how it is
sheer,
all down the Cape.
Sheer,
down the Cape, it's all bluffs,
sheer,
right?
No. Like on certain parts are bluffs, but then they also have miles and miles of sandy beaches.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And that's where plovers nest, is in that smooth, gradually sloping line down, for the most part. Down to the water, because if you're a little baby chick and you're, you know, you have a nest up there by the bluff, you can't run through, you know, as a baby chick, you can't run through, you know,
maybe they could
high
maybe they could build like a huge fence with like one entryway with a staircase that goes up 20 feet and across so that the people would never have a chance to disturb the piping plover where they go. And they, that way the piping plovers could go back and forth right to the ocean underneath back and forth and not be disturbed.
Well, they don't have any
like
nesting area.
If
right
what?
Now.
$20 million, something like that.
Yeah.
No problem.
No.
We'll save a plover or two.
Yeah.
Be good.
Oh, my God.
Joey's getting the stink eye right now.
Joe, I think we have to give a shout out to Mike and his socks, his glow-in-the-dark socks.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Look at those.
That's
babies.
So fancy.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, I think we should post something.
Those are, yeah.
I mean,
they're just running socks,
running
Joe.
Socks?
Yeah.
Mike's on a tear. He's been doing like 5 miles.
Really? Wow.
Beast mode. Beast
yeah.
mode.
You know, can I mention one thing before we finish?
Sure.
I forgot to mention was... Pathways for Children is celebrating their 50th year. They've been in operation for 50 years
wow.
with Head Start, and so they're looking for 50,000 stories. And it could either be photos, videos, mementos, because of all the, you know, thousands of kids that have gone through and their families and how Pathways impacted their life.
Oh, yeah.
Like Anne Margaret Ferranti is an example of a young child who went through Pathways.
Really?
Yeah. So
interesting.
Because, it, you know, anyway, so do you want me to tell you where you can send that information to?
Why don't you just send it to me, the link, when you send the picture?
Oh, okay.
Does that work?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, well
it's
okay,
just an easy link. So send any mementos or photos or videos.
All right, just send me, just send me the...
Ellen Sibley. There's her address.
Send me the whole line.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
and that'd be
yes.
awesome.
Okay.
One other thing, did I mention the Bikini Speedo dodgeball tournament signups?
No,
you
didn't.
No.
Not today.
Nope.
We didn't talk about it.
Oh.
Jesus. I had it in the show notes from last week, and we didn't talk about it.
I was trying to mention it.
Did we mention it last week?
I think we did, yeah.
A couple days ago.
Sometimes
April 28th.
God. April
28th. You have to mention it every show now between
it
now
is
and
impo- It is very important. I mean, really, we could talk about these endangered species, but who really gives a shit? It's really about
the
bikini speedo dodgeballs.
The tournament is coming up.
But I'm sure some of the people there are endangered species, too.
And some of them are as rare as piping clovers.
No, but seriously, the money goes to the paws for the paw thing, the animal thing.
Oh,
Peace for Paws or something.
Mm.
Paw Patrol. Something. Anyway,
Poop Patrol.
I just want to say, Frankie Gwynn took it over.
Okay.
The sign-ups are right now. If you've gone, Kim.
Yes.
Pat and Jimmy, have you gone?
No,
never gone.
No.
Chris has never
pleasure.
Gone. Mike's never gone.
I'm putting a team together.
It's an absolute spectacle.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I mean, maybe.
You really have to wear a speedo.
You do?
You really have to wear a speedo.
Then I'd scare a lot of people.
You know what the part about it is at our age?
What's it?
Shoulders.
Shoulders?
Think about picking up a dodgeball and having a really...
Oh, that's true.
Throw
yeah.
it with velocity.
Yeah.
How many times you could do that without... Like losing an arm.
Yeah.
Losing an arm.
It's kind of like the conversation we had last week about bowling.
Right.
When you bowl.
Right. And bowling at our age.
I'm out of work for 3 days.
The hamstring, the thigh, the shoulder, everything. All right. Enough about the old person podcast that we've been doing here. Wow, we're at an hour and 5 minutes. That kind of that flew by, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. It's GloucesterCast 271.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. Thank you, Pat.